And you know what? In the church, you really cannot base your success on what you see. Because you never know exactly whose life you touched. I had had an opportunity the other day. I had an appointment over at the VA, and I'd run off and forgot something and had to turn around. And believe it or not, even though Cardington is only 5 miles away, I had already traveled into Cardington, turned around, came back, and had to travel back. So now I'm 15 minutes behind. And it takes a half hour to get there. So I had to call him and got there late, and I'm sitting in my seat waiting, and this guy comes up and he just starts talking. And I'd rode my bike in, and I think it was kind of obvious who rode the motorcycle that day. It was the guy with the motorcycle boots and the leather jacket. And anyhow, he no sooner sat down, we started talking, and I got called in, and by the time I came out, he was gone. So I said, "Lord, I'm just going to go." And I got out there, and I called Angela, said, "Is there anything you need?" I was trying to call her, and I think your phone wasn't even here. So I just kept calling and calling and calling. And in the meantime, he came out, and he says, "Well, imagine that, you're still here." I said, "Yeah, go figure." And we sat there, and we talked. And I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, don't ever assume you know somebody just by looking at them. Because the guy... And why he asked this is beyond me. It was not part of the conversation, and because I'm thinking, I've got a lot of stuff to do. I'm already over 45 minutes behind. And he says, "What do you do for a living?" Okay, I'm sitting on a motorcycle, got boots on, leather jacket, and I said, "Well, believe it or not, I'm a pastor." "Well, that's great." And as the conversation wore on, we turned out, talked a little bit, and then he said, "Now, where's your church at?" So I looked for him. He lives in Galleon. And but he said, "You know, I just might show up." He said, "I have not been to church in a very long time." And I had to think, Lord, maybe he won't come here. But maybe he will go somewhere and he will get his life right with the Lord just because I was willing. I may never know. You may never know. That person you talked to and bumped into in the grocery store, you may never know what you meant to them. The kind words that they may have spoken into your life or you may have spoken into theirs. You're never going to know what happened. And so when you want to judge your success, don't look around to see your medals. Go to the one who's keeping track. Now, there's some things I want to share with you. Some of these things you're going to say, "Well, blah, 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 whatever." But I want to share with you some things that this church has done, this body, in the last 10 years. This body, by the way, I know Bob just left, and I think Karen's in the nursery, but let's see, Vicky, who else has been here 10 years? Joshua and Jesse and Angela and me. Okay. All right. Some of you have been here for a long time. Some of you have been here for the full 10 years. Like I say, Bob and Karen and Vicky, they were there as well. And it started in our living room, or our dining room. And... And then, as I said last night, God told me to go to Pastor Dosek. And the first thing Pastor Dosek told me to do was get it out of your house. And within 2 weeks, we had a building. A month later, we lost that building. But because of the hand of God on our lives, God moved us into the side of the building that I had wanted at half the rent. I said, "Well, glory to God. You can have that little thing. I want the front of the building. I want the side that's got the real parking lot." And many of you had found us at that point, and that's where we are. And then we came here, and I shared again last night just how God, it was all God's timing that we're here. And as Pastor Dosek said last night, this building was built with God's intention of there being a church here. It may have started out life. There was a CNC machine right there that carved out carburetors for Ford. Right where the pulpit sits. Over there sat a 15-ton brake and a 7-ton brake. This was a machine shop. They built things. You know what we build here? We build believers. That's our goal. That's our purpose. Bible says that we are all members of one body. We all have our own purpose. Believe it or not, your right hand has a different purpose than your left hand. Because I cannot throw a ball with my left hand to save my life. And I will not say I throw like a girl, because I've seen some of them girls throw. I throw like a sissy with my left hand. So I just don't do it. And so we have our own purpose for being here. Now I'm going to share some things here. I'm going to share you some numbers. Typically, the board is the one who gets to hear these numbers, but I want to share some of these numbers with you. In the last 10 years, we have given over $134,000. We've given that. Now, let me tell you some of the things that goes to. First off, it goes to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is first and foremost, the most important thing. You can give somebody food in their belly, but if you didn't give them Jesus Christ, you just fed them for a day. Okay, but we've helped spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Not only locally, but around the world. We have clothed the naked. We have fed the hungry. We have sheltered the homeless. And we've helped expecting mothers. That's something you guys had a part in. I know some of you didn't know what we do. Oh, we don't see what we're doing. You don't always see. You never see what the other side's doing. If you've ever worked in a factory, you're not standing there watching them do their job. You're busy doing your job. At least you better be. And so those are some of the things that we've done. And I want to point out, folks, we have done a lot of this locally. Okay? Yeah, we've helped. We sent supplies to Joplin, Missouri when the tornado went through there. We've sent things to the Middle East when the tsunami came in. We've sent help wherever it was needed. We've even helped our troops. We've sent an offering to help them phone home. You don't know what that means, but you did it. Now, all of that money, that $134,000, does not include the over 1,000 shoeboxes that have been sent out of here. I had to confer with Ms. Vicky, and she says, oh, yes. And she said, I believe it's even over 1,000. And I'm guessing probably around 1,200 to 1,300. Now, you stop and think about that. That's 1,300 children who now know about Jesus. Because you dared to pack a little plastic box. That's what the whole thing's about. That's why we got involved. It's great to send somebody a gift, but the Samaritan's purse makes sure that they put the gospel in there. And you may think, well, this isn't getting through to them. It's just a little coloring book to some of these kids. I want to tell you, as a former child who used to color in those coloring books, the stories stick. Those cartoon books, comic books, they stick. That stuff sticks. You've had a part in that. That's spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not about drawing attention to ourselves. I'll be honest with you, I'm one of those guys, I said this yesterday, I did something I shouldn't have. At the meet, it's not that I was being bad. It was, I just wanted to get somewhere really fast. And as I'm running, somebody told me to get back on the trail. I'll just leave it like that. And I just kept running. I'm like, well, what am I doing? I'm in the middle of the woods now. It's shorter to keep going where I'm going. So I just kept, but then I told Phil later, I said, you know, there's a downside to this. He's like, what? And I turned around and I've got my name on the back of my sweatshirt. I hated it when the Marine Corps made me put my name on my uniform. Who cares what my name is? My name is Corporal. That's all you need to know. I personally believe that if the enemy does not detect you, you stand a better chance at winning. But do you know what our philosophy has been, I know, in the last 20 years in this nation for warfare? To call the country and tell them. And tell them what time we're going to invade. Now, is anybody, okay, I know there's not, a lot of you do not have military, but does that make sense? Jesus said a thief comes at the middle of the night when you least expect it. That's why he's successful. You're not expecting it. The devil does not expect anything to rise up. You come in blowing bands, you know, trumpets, and you got your marching bands going, hey, look at us, look at us, look at us. The devil's going to say, hey, look at them, look at them. Now, I promise you, in the last 10 years, you have felt like you've gone through some hell. You felt like you've been through physical warfare. And some of you may still feel like it. But what I want to tell you is the devil does not win. You've got to remember back, those of you who were here Friday night, you've got to remember back what Pastor Bob was saying. If you think you're struggling, just remember, greater is he that's in you than he that is struggling against you. If you're struggling, think of how much more it's struggling, the thing you're battling. It does not matter what the temptation, it does not matter what the thoughts are going through your head. Whatever that thing is that's daring to stand against you is struggling even harder. And just like the Rocky fights, ladies and gentlemen, you somewhere have got to find the resolve to get back up one more time and take another swing. I'll have to tell you, that's the only thing that I can attest to is you've got to get back up. It doesn't matter how many times you got knocked down. It only matters how many times you get back up. Now, in this body, we have prayed for countless people for cancer, and we've seen them healed. We've prayed for countless people for healing, and we've seen them healed. We've prayed for numerous people who were on their deathbed. Pat and Brenda, is he a nephew? Is that what it was? The guy in the motorcycle? They called the family in. They called the family in because he'd been in an accident, and the doctor said he's not going to live more than 2 days. They called they had family come in from out of state. But we prayed. That happened on a Saturday. We prayed on Sunday afternoon with War on the Floor. And the next report I got was he opened his eyes. He's alive. And he walked out of the hospital. Well, I'm sure they rolled him out in a chair, but he walked to his car. And he is still alive today. But that's not the only report we have of that. Well, Pastor, I don't see where I had a part. Yes, you do. If you were standing with us, you had a part in it. Just as I shared last night, you may not be able to go to Nicaragua. You may not be called to go to Nicaragua. But because you sowed a seed into Pastor Dosek's ministry and helped him go to Nicaragua, you had a part in that. We're all one body. That's what people keep forgetting. I get a new pair of shoes. My feet aren't the only part of my body that's rejoicing. My knees are rejoicing. My hips are rejoicing. And my back is rejoicing. And if all that feels good, my head feels good. So when Pastor Dosek's receiving his rewards, God's going to say, okay, everybody that had a part in that gets a reward. And not only have we prayed for people over things, but even through you, not just from the teaching from the pulpit, but even through you, we've been able to help numerous people strengthen their walk, whether they go to this church or not. Because again, it's not about whether or not they go to this church. They are still brothers and sisters. They have, if they're planted somewhere else, let them stay there. If you're planted here, you stay here. But you've been able to encourage people. How many of you have prayed for somebody that you didn't have the nerve to when you first got saved? Quite a few of you. It's called stretching. And I'll tell you, I was telling Pastor Dosek last night some things, and he just starts telling me more and more and more, and I'm like, I said, Pastor, God has been showing me for the last several months, it's time for me to stretch. And I said, now I'm getting to where I hate stretching. I don't know about you, but stretching isn't always fun, because it requires you to reach just a little further, to run maybe a little bit faster. That's what stretching does. And you know what? Where the hardest part of stretching is? It's right here. It has nothing to do with anything else. Because everything that God needs to work with is already inside of you. You've just got to get your mind to line up with your spirit. And so that's the hard part. Oh, God, I can't write that song. God says, that's not what I said. I've already put it in you. And you've already wrote songs. And Rob, whatever God's got called for you, it's already there. Same thing with you guys. It doesn't matter. Gloria, Stephen. Oh, but Pastor, I don't know that I'm called. Listen, fivefold ministry, get that out of your head. The real ministry happens out here, one-on-one. You don't have to have a crowd of 1,000 people. You just got to have that one person that you can talk to. You can say, hey, you know what? God loves you. By the way, Desiree, it's good seeing you. Now, I want to share with you some things. I don't know, I may have shared some of this before, but I ask you to listen. Because God, in the last, I'd say 2 months, since I started studying about dreams and learning how, because listen, I don't care what you think about dreams, you better get in your Bible and understand. God said in the last days, I will speak to my people through dreams and visions. And God has given me a lot of dreams. Well, you sleep a lot less. Well, I probably don't sleep any more than anybody else. No, actually, I've been getting up at 4 and 5. Forced myself to go back to sleep for an hour or two. But 10 years ago, in the spring, 10 years ago, I had a dream that it was myself, and actually it was Bob and Karen and another couple were with us. They were our former pastors. And we were standing in front of this building. And it was dark all around. And we were standing in front of this glass door. And through the glass door, I could see demons. And I could see them hanging out the window. And it was a big red brick building. And they were hanging out the window and they said, you cannot come in here. You are not welcome. Now, I'm just of the type of personality, sometimes that when you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to try it just because you said I can't. And it's not always a good thing. But in this dream, I said, watch me. And I stepped through the door. I had no idea. That was the end of the dream. And I had no clue what God was telling me. I was like, Lord, where's this building at? At the time, I was working up in Mansfield at the old Y. We were converting it to some other facilities. And I thought, well, maybe it's the old Y. The electrician claims there's ghosts in the basement. I don't know. I'm not going to lie, it was a little eerie. I will confess right now, I prayed in tongues more times down there than not. Because we were not allowed to turn on the lights and you didn't know what was down there. So you're walking down there and you hear all the pipes clanging and all this stuff. And it just was not a fun place to be. So I thought maybe it was the old YMCA. That just never settled in me. Until one day I pulled up to a building in this town. And I'm sitting there and I looked up. And I realized I was in front of that building. It was slightly different, but it was the building. It was the roof line that I saw. It was the windows that I saw. Now, just so you know, this building does not, it just represents this village. Okay? Not that the building, because it was the library. So the library's not possessed, Miss Rose. It just represented this, because that was the newest building that had just been built at that time. And I sat there, and I said, Lord God, what is the deal? He told me that there is such strong spiritual warfare going on, that there is such repression in this community. There is a religious spirit, ladies and gentlemen, and people do not even know that they are operating under it. I do know, and I will share here in a little bit, I do know part of the reason why God called me, of all the people. I do know part of our purpose, just part of it, because we do what needs to be done as we go, right? You don't just walk along and say, well, I'm just going to ignore this. Hey, if I can do something about this, I'm going to do it. But if I know I got somebody right behind me, then I got to keep going on in my mission. So that dream just kind of stuck with me for a little while. Later that year, or later that summer, I ran into an old friend and was talking to him, and I said, I don't know, man. I said, something has changed. I said, I feel grown up now. I was 31. I just now said I felt grown up. I told him, I said, this is spiritually. I feel grown up spiritually. And he looked at me and he smiled and I didn't know what was going on. Because he was about as speechless as I was when I just said, I just don't understand what's going on. Something had changed. Well, come September, week before the 11th, 7th, September 7th, I think it was, I knew what God was doing. That's when God told me to start this church. We had our first meeting on October 14th. Because our previous church had closed its doors. I knew what God was preparing me for. Because of the opposition that is in Mount Gilead. Oh, but Pastor, how can you say there's a religious spirit? There's four churches on each corner downtown. Exactly. By the way, there's five in that vicinity. That's right in that vicinity. Not only we have the Church of Christ here, we have us. There are several other churches. I would have to say, per capita, we may have more churches than anybody else. Because the devil is coming with the spirit of division to keep the body of Christ from coming together and becoming an effective army. But the problem is, the devil's not the only one who's got the lowdown on tactics. Several years back, we'll fast forward, but this has been about 4 or 5 years ago. I had had a dream. Again, I'm sharing with you dreams. Is that okay? Don't, because I want to tell you, these have come to pass. I've now seen them fulfilled, and I now fully understand them. I had a dream in which I was in part of a formation. And if you don't understand, it's a military term. I was in a formation. I'm in the middle. There's troops to the left or right of me. As we listened, we're listening to this platoon commander in front of us who was just obnoxious and rude and crude. And I'm thinking, dear God, is this seriously, that's our platoon commander? And about that time, a shot rang out and everybody hit the deck. And I remember in a dream thinking, why am I still standing? Why didn't I drop? You know, because your carnal mind can still operate at that point, and it's thinking, why aren't you on the deck? Well, we all stood up. Everybody stood back up, and our platoon commander had changed. It was now a bald guy. Before, it was a black-haired woman. Don't know who they represent. I do believe the bald guy represented the Holy Spirit. And as I began looking around, I also noticed I'd moved into position. I was no longer in the middle of the formation, but I was out front of the formation. And I was standing next to a guy about that tall. Because I remember looking up to him. Of course, that's not hard when you're my size, but. And at that particular, shortly thereafter, I met Eric Schroeder, who was pastor of New Life Assembly, who's 6'5". So if you put somebody 5'8" next to somebody who's 6'5", well, Noah could be a good example for you. I've got to look up. And I remember seeing him there. He was a pastor at that time, and I've come to realize that God had moved me from the middle of the pack to the front of the pack. And this is where things really started taking a turn. I saw the spiritual warfare going on. I could see tracers, red and blue tracers. Actually look more like Star Wars. You know, they shoot their little lasers. That's what I saw going on in the sky. And we're standing there and we're watching all. We can hear the roar of the jets. Just the thunder. And we're standing there. And I just remember tensing up thinking, okay, give us the orders to get our combat gear on. Because you got to understand, I'm in PT gear, which is my tennis shoes, my shorts, and a t-shirt. I am not in combat gear. I do not feel safe. Let's just put it that way. And I'm thinking, just give us, tell us to go, tell us to go. Tell us to go. And our platoon commander turns around and says, sit down. Most of us sat. We sat down right where we stood. Everybody else is standing up looking at us. Thinking, you're crazy. What's going on? At that point, the platoon commander was even sitting, and we just kind of floated away from the entire formation into this scrubby, dead grass area with grass about yay high. It was in, by the way, it was in a courtyard of brick buildings, red brick buildings. And I'm still seeing and hearing all the warfare going on around. And as we sit there, I begin to watch the rest of the formation, which I've now come to recognize represents the churches, and particularly of Morrow County. And as I watched them all come together, they had red camis, they had blue camis, they had the white camis, they had gray, they had different colored uniforms because of different denominations. But they were coming together and they started doing monkey drills. Now, those of you in the military know what a monkey drill is. Those of you not, I will explain it. A monkey drill is merely a drill movement when you're marching that is just for show. That's all it's for. It serves absolutely no purpose because you got to understand, drill close order drill, each movement, you can form a combat movement. Okay? So all these churches started doing monkey drills or useless things. They came together and they started moving in and out of each other and doing this and doing that, spinning their rifles. Be honest with you, the Marine silent, all the silent drill teams are pretty much monkey drills because you cannot do anything. You cannot stand there and spin your rifle and pass it down the line in combat. It's all for show. That's all it's for. Because I promise you, you will hit the guy in the end in the head because he probably wasn't part of that team. And as I watched them, they started coming forth. And they tried to come where we were at. And they couldn't. They could only get so close. They would keep bouncing back as if something was holding them back. Now, I want to describe this courtyard again to you. It was dead grass. No life whatsoever in it. Now, when I was in the military, or in Marine Corps, our PT uniforms was in boot camp was a yellow t-shirt. I think it still is. But we were all in yellow. Yellow shorts and yellow paint or shirts, which technically we called gold because yellow is this color for cowards. And I remember thinking, Lord, he told us, he said, lay down and rest until morning. And I'm sitting there. I said, Lord, what do you mean lay down? We are in bright yellow and you're telling us to lay down. We are going to get killed. But I saw people begin to lay down as they began to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying. They began to lay down. And I was the last one to lay down. And as I laid down, I realized that the grass turned yellow. We were perfectly hidden and protected. Now, some others in the, because I'm watching the monkey drills, kind of laying on my back and looking down, and two other people came out. And I told them, they started, at that point, they did an Irish jig. I know it doesn't sound, again, more show-off stuff. And I told them, sit down, do you want to get shot in the head? But now, here's where it all comes together, ladies and gentlemen. First off, God was showing me that He raised me up. Not man, nobody else. He did it. But that we had to listen to the Holy Spirit for this body. And that He was going to take us to a place where everybody else wanted to be at, but they wouldn't obey. They still wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to do their monkey drills. Let's do look like we're doing something. Now this part, when He told us to lay down and rest, I can understand lay down and rest, right? But I had no clue, wait until morning. Well, that's pretty simple, Pat. But you got to understand, everything's symbolic. What are we talking about here? And I shared this the other night to those that were in on Wednesday night about the dreams, which we will be finishing. We will be working on them again. That I was listening to a song on a CD, and I have yet to find that song. But that I don't even know if these words are anywhere in any of the CDs I've got. Because those were the only words that jumped out at me. But it said, with every morning comes a new horizon. It's a new beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the new beginning. That's what this is. Some of you have said, and I've seen it, my wife has seen it, there's a different anointing on me. Now I know today I'm not preaching some big flowery message on how to conquer the devil and how you got to have direction first, right? You didn't get behind the wheel of the car until they gave you direction, right? I hope. Somebody had to tell you something. I remember trying to teach my brother how to drive my truck. He would have been, I was 18, he would have been 12. And he turned, but he forgot to let go of the wheel, and he's driving down the road like this. I said, you've got to let go of the wheel sometime so that your hands can be here. God was telling me at that point to wait. I had no idea how long to wait. He said, this has been 5 years ago. So 3.5 years ago, I had been 3.5, right? Well, at our 6.5 years of ministry, I had another dream of a baseball game. It was the bottom of the 6th inning. 6.5 years to the date it was. How many innings are in a baseball game? 9. You play them all the way through. What happens after 9? You're at 10. It's time for the new horizon. Well, Pastor, we still don't understand where we're going. Well, I want to just hang on a second. We've got a few minutes. For those of you that are not aware, we do have a banquet set up afterwards, and all of you are invited. But you're just going to have to wait, because they just showed up a little bit ago, and they got to get set up. They're not waiting. They're not going to be ready for us till 12:30, so I got a few minutes. Several weeks ago, a question was posed to me. If our church did not exist, would they miss us? I've heard that before from other people. You know, it's a viable question. And I went to God about that. I said, Lord God, I try to do what you tell us to do. If we were not here, because I will tell you, I've had people drive by here and say, I didn't know that church was there. I'm thinking, what, are you blind? Yeah, they are. People that want to find it will find it. I had a gal call me and she said, my parents would like to come to a church similar to yours. They live in, I think they live back here. They've lived there 15 years and they say there's no church. Well, we've been here at least 6 years right here. The sign's out front. The devil's blinding people. But I asked God, I said, God, if our church was not here, would they miss us? Well, I'll tell you right now, if we had a food bank and people were lined up every Thursday afternoon, and then they go back and they get in their brand new SUVs, go back to their TVs that are bigger than my SUV. Come on. I've seen these food lines. I've watched them walk right around the corner and get into a brand new SUV that gets 10 miles to the gallon. Now, if you can afford that, that's great. But if you're in a food line, that tells me you can't afford that. We've got people on welfare that's got cell phones. We got people on welfare that's got internet access. They've got all this. Those are not guarantees of life. Those are niceties. I did not get internet and I did not get a cell phone until I could afford it. But anyhow, I asked God, I said again, God, if we were not here, would they miss us? And God told me, yes. And it's not because of food lines, it's not because of this, because of the little, all the little things we got going. He said, you don't know what you've been holding back. Jason, you got that ready. Go ahead. Pat, shut those lights. You'll recognize this scene. Go ahead and turn the volume up more, Pat.
Wielder of the flame of Arnor. The dark fire will not avail you, flame of Uldun! Go back to the shadow!
Now, most of you recognize that's obviously Lord of the Rings. That is the exact image God gave me. That's how he told me, this is what you've been holding back. We may not look like a powerhouse. We may not look like we're out and into the... But to those other seven on the other side of that bridge, that man standing the gap, who would not allow that demon to kill them. That's what this church is. But I want to tell you, we've been holding. God has been holding us. We've been, I know some of us are anxious. That's the way I felt in that dream. I was anxious. I was like, give me my weapons. I know how to use them. Give it to me. Give me my helmet, my flak jacket, my rifle. I want to go get this enemy. I want to join the fight. And after you've been trained like that, you're so frustrated that you can't go yet. This church has been holding back the demonic forces from overrunning, particularly Mount Gilead and Morrow County. There's a lot of stuff going on. You can sit there and say, well, I don't believe in demons. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you better get ready to. Because you're going to see them from the highest levels in this country right down to where you live. This country has just begun its descent. I hate to say that. I love America. I really do. It's my country. I fought for it. But we've rejected God. And a lot of the churches today do not recognize demonic forces. They do not even acknowledge that there are. That is why today they are accepting homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle, and they're teaching it. That is totally contrary to the Bible. They have just now nullified themselves as being called Christian. If they are going to get technical, get in there. Look at it. It is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The stuff that we're allowing in churches today, in our own lives, God put me here for a reason. I did not do combat. But I told Angela, I said, what scares me is how much I understand about combat. And then when Bob said the other night, he said, what's inside of you, God already put there. You just need to get your mind to line up with it. God already put that. That's why he called me. He anointed me for this place. Because I'm sometimes too dumb to quit. Although the option was there quite a few times. The thought was there quite a few times. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. As I sat in my office the other day, I knew what God was stirring in me. I knew what he was doing. And if you, some of you have been in my office, you know, I have a lot of military, Marine Corps, particularly decorations, not personal, just things. And I have this book, it's the history of the United States Marines, and there's chapters in it. And God said, and when I first put that book in there, I left it open to First to Fight. And it'd been there for, I don't know, however long I've had my office opened up. God said, it's time you change the page. I said, well, Lord, what am I going to turn it to? He said, well, go over and start turning pages. So I'm flipping through. And I'm looking at the different chapters. No, he said, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And then I flip it over. And it says, on the offensive. Ladies and gentlemen, we now, as a church, go on the offensive. Mount Gilead is going to experience one of the greatest. It's going to experience some fighting, I promise you that, spiritually. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are things running around. We've got an arsonist in this community. Which I've already prayed for him or her. We've got things going on in this community. The devil does not want us standing up. That is why he has done his very best to discourage you, to try to destroy you. because he is afraid of what's in you. You've been resting. It's time to fight now. You've got the weapons. You've been getting the weapons. Well, Pastor, I don't. Quit saying I don't. I don't know. I can't. Quit saying that. What did Paul teach? He said, you just go and open your mouth and the Holy Spirit will put the words in there. We have spoke blessing into this community. We have spoke blessing right here into this body. And we have seen it happen. We have prayed some of the most ridiculous things to ask for. And God has done them. And you know why he did? He said, because whatever you ask in my name, I will do. That's why. It's because we dared to believe what he said. Now, I'm gonna throw something out there to you. If your earthly father had never lied to you, was always there for you, and he told you, whatever you ask me, I'm going to give it to you, would you believe it? Yeah. And I threw those stipulations in there for a reason. Because your heavenly father has never lied to you, and he's always been there for you. A lot of us have family that have been running. I've prayed for my brother. He woke up with a demon in his bed. You know who the first person he called? You got to understand, he's a combat vet. He says, I'm not afraid of anything, but I'm afraid to go home. He said, what do? I said, you give your life to the Lord. He says, well, I'm ready to pay for a ticket, you to fly down here and clean my house. I said, well, you can go in and do it. You got your heart right with the Lord, you still have that same authority. That's the great thing about God, ladies and gentlemen. Just because you did this, I'm going to tell you, I ran as hard as I could. 7,000 miles, as a matter of fact. Thought, God's not going to find me in the middle of the Pacific. Yeah, he did. He created that island. He put that beach there. He put that knob that I slept on that whole night right there underneath that tree, knowing that one of those days I was going to be there. But when I gave my heart back, it wasn't the fact that God had to, it wasn't the fact that I had to regain my trust in God. I had to regain my trust in me. And as that confidence has grown, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe, I love that example. Because if you've never seen that movie, just before this scene, there were these other fallen creatures that were about to destroy this fellowship. And they were surrounded. There's thousands of them. They can climb the walls. They're demonic. But they were afraid of that. But the person with the authority knew that he could stop them. That he could stop it. But even he had a fear. He said, listen, I don't care what the devil's been throwing at you. Oh, I'm afraid. You've got to overcome that fear and just do it. Because there's going to come a point where you're not going to have an hour to psych yourself up to it. You just jump right into it and this will not happen. My child shall live. You may not get the opportunity to build your faith up for in prayer and fasting for a week. That's why we're supposed to be doing it. So where are we going? On the offensive. We're now going to begin taking back the kingdom of God. We're going to start with Morrow County. We're going to start right here in Mount Gilead. The last poll that I knew, 2% of Morrow County went to church. There's 36,000 of us here. And 2% go to church. It'd be great if 10% of us, because that'd be 3,600. That means what, about 360? No, 600 people total in this county actually go to church. 600. Oh, but Pastor, that's so low. Yeah. Gideon had a nice sized army too. And then God said, all right, I want you to weed out the weaklings. Got him down to 300 warriors who themselves were just probably a little bit, we don't know what we're doing. Going up against 20,000. Well, you know what? God has not brought us together and bonded us together as a family. And I'm going to promise you, as a family, and you can ask my sister, families butt heads all the time. The thing you have to learn to do is forgive. Forget. And I'll tell you right now, there are times you have to say, I'm not taking the offense. Devil brings, I'm not taking that offense. I'm not biting on it, Lord. I refuse to take it. You will be able to walk in forgiveness. Lord God, help you if you're walking in unforgiveness. But you will be able to walk in forgiveness of anybody. I don't care what they've done. I remember, I'm going to talk about Pat for a second. I remember Pat telling me, he said, you know what, your ex-wife said, you've changed. He says, yeah, I have. I used to hate you. He told me that. And I'm just saying, because Pat has changed. Pat does not hate his ex-wife now. I know they pray for her. Yeah. See? That takes a step right there to be able to do that. And that's what we have to do to walk. Well, I want to walk mighty. Well, the first thing you got to do is start in forgiveness. If you're not walking in forgiveness, I don't care who or what was done. Well, Pastor, I was raped. Yeah, you know what? So was I. You forgive them and go on. Well, Pastor, I was made fun of. So was I. You know what it's like to be this tall, stocky? Some of you do. Problem is I was in fifth grade that tall. Jesse's in the fifth grade. What are you, about this tall? He weighs more than I did in junior high. I've had to learn to forgive. We all have to learn to forgive. And we have to learn to forget it. Amen. There's the important part. Oh, but I forgave him. Yeah, but have you forgotten it? I'm talking about the forgetting where you forgot you put $100 in your pocket and you put the jeans up. And then you get them out a year later and you're like, what is it? Woohoo! You totally forgot it, and you didn't miss it. I get a thrill when I've had a pair of pants on, and I'm like, well, I only had them on for an hour or so. I'm going to put them back up. It's not take them off and put them up. And then, you know, it might be 6 months later, I put that same pair of pants on. I'm straightening out my pockets. I'm like, ooh, there's greenbacks in my pocket. I forgot I did it. It doesn't matter if it's just a wad of ones. It brings you a thrill. It's an even bigger thrill when George Washington isn't on any of them. No, actually, see, we've got a rule at the house. If anybody leaves money in the dryer washer and it goes through the dryer and comes out, she finds it, it's hers. So, yeah. If I take the clothes off, before it goes down the chute, I'm reaching through the pocket. So rarely do I have any cash go through the machine. But that's where we're going, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what's our next orders, Pastor? I'm just waiting for the direction. But I just want to let you know, we're on the offensive. When we come back to pray with war on the floor, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, more and more prayer is all it's going to take. We can say, well, we need this program. Listen, programs are programs. They fail. But the one thing that never fails is prayer and God breaking through. Now, we are going to be having a discipleship class where that's in the workings. Because I believe some of you probably, even if you've been saved for a few years, you may need to go through it. Because I realize that some of what I teach you, you can't grasp hold of because you don't have the basics completely. You can't go to advanced infantry training until you've been through basic. And that's what we're going to do. God is moving us to do things. And there's things going to be different. Like I said, I noticed the anointing was different on me, but it was only when I accepted it. Because I didn't want to accept it, because it meant stretching a little bit more. But I can't handle more until I've stretched more. So, that's where we're going. Now, we have got just a few more minutes before they are totally ready for us, right? Or are they about ready for us now? They're about ready now? Okay, what we're going to do is we have place cards, okay? We ask that you sit at them. Now, our guests, we have some that are labeled guests because we don't know who you were. Because we'd sent these out a while back to make sure we had enough food for everybody and seating and stuff. But there is a place for you. We ask that you go over and find your place. Your children may not necessarily be sitting with you, depending on their age. Okay? Depending on their age. But they will be, they're not going to be too far away, okay? So if you need to throw an olive or something at them, get their attention. And we will go over there, we'll sit down. There's a little thing of, a little goodie cup there you can have at it. But we will bless the food over there, okay? So, you know, when we leave out of here, I ask that you go ahead and, if you got children back here in the other classroom, the junior cadets, go ahead and gather your children, and you can head over to there. And if you want to lock your stuff up in your car, that's great. I would not recommend leaving purses or valuables in here because nobody's going to be in here. And you know, people do steal from churches. That's an unfortunate thing. Okay, carry on, aye, sir. So that's what we're gonna do. And when we get over there, like I said, it's a catered meal. Those of you at the FFA banquet at Mount Gilead this year, you know what it was? It was good food, same meal. I liked it then, and I'm gonna have it again. And so we are. That's what I'm looking for. We're excited to share this with you. Now there is gonna be one little difference. Typically, I wait until the very end to go through. I'm going to be first. This is a celebration. And we want to do that so that we can come around and visit with you. So we're not trying to get through the line and eat, because we do have some things to have to do here later ourselves this evening. I told Angela, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to take a couple days off beginning of this week. So it felt like about 3 weeks crammed into one. And so we're just really excited about all this. So, oh my goodness.
long, because I know we're all excited to see our gift from our pastors and receive what they've so beautifully planned for us, as they always do. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And Ephesians 4:10-16 reads this way. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, which they do so beautifully, for the edifying of the body of Christ, which we just received, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, but speaking the truth in love, which they also so beautifully do, even when we don't want to hear it necessarily. So that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that very, by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, which is another thing they orchestrate very beautifully. And love is widespread in this body, and it's because of our pastors. So if you would all stand, let's honor them. We love you guys, and thank you for your ministry. Let's see. I'll present the plaque to you in appreciation for 10 years of faithful ministry, Pastor. We thank you. We love you.
God bless you.
Many, many, many more of you. Praise God. We love you, Pastor. Thank you so much for your care.
If you would like to bring Jesse, Joshua, Justin up.
These guys have so faithfully served and shared their parents with us for 10 years. And we want to thank you guys for that. In this basket is some family items, something for each one of you boys, for all the work you do here for us, and for helping your mom and dad bring us up in the Lord. We love you guys.
Okay. Thank you. I know those seem like simple words, but thank you. This is, it truly has been an honor. And I can say confidently, I'm looking forward to another 10 years of serving with you, being there with you, for you. You know, I've seen, been with some of you and your heart's been ripped out. Been there when you rejoiced. And we're looking forward to it all over again. Because if life was just a flat highway, it'd be a boring ride. And this is real special. Thank you. I'll tell you what, how about if we just bless you, and then we can all go while I can still talk. Okay? We've already got one snooping through the basket. Okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you Lord God, for the 10 wonderful years that we have had. Lord, we've come together as strangers and we've become family. Lord, I thank you that you're going before us. You are setting those paths straight. You are showing us the way. And you're leading us into every battle. And Father, if you do not go before us, we do not want to go in. We will only go where you go. And now, Father, I thank you for these people that you have sent here. I pray that you bless them, Father. Father, move miraculously in their lives yet this week. Open doors that have been closed. Make a way where there was no way. Lord, I pray for those that are self-employed. I pray that you bring work in to them. And I pray for those that are employed by somebody else, that you bless that employer, that they may bless their employee. And Father, that they realize the blessing that they have in the man or woman of God that they have working for them. And that because of them, they are prosperous. And now, Lord, I thank you for healing our bodies, touching our minds, touching our hearts. Lord, I thank you and praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you are dismissed to...